Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our last Sunday Cafe service. It's good to see somebody be here. This week we're going to be thinking about fairness. We're doing that because this is the start of a fair trade fortnight, but also there's been a lot of questions on the news recently about how you treat people fairly and about trade and how you trade fairly. I was thinking about the case of that girl who went off to join the ISIS cause and the question of has she been treated fairly, irrespective of the rights or wrongs of her decisions. And the Bible, of course, talks about people who are treated more fairly than they deserve. We think of various folks in Scripture who are treated more fairly than they deserve. And so the issue of fairness is a biblical theme, and particularly today as we start Fair Trade Fortnight, the issue of fairness lies before us. So we're going to be thinking about that during our service today, but as usual we'll have a time of praise, and then we'll read God's word and have a think about our theme together.
Good morning, everybody. As Andrew said, we're thinking of Fair Trade Fortnight, and so we're thinking this week about fairness. When I sent the hymn script planner this week, I wasn't sure in fact what we were going to be doing, so I emailed me back and said that in fairness, I probably struggled to find any hymns specifically dealing with fairness, but what I did have was a good sing. So hopefully that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to have a good sing, and I think we'll start with a good sing. We're going to run the first two hymns together as one. They're both just relatively short choruses rather than verse songs, so we'll sing each one through a couple of times and we'll run one into the other. And the best that go well together, they're both about everybody praising God at every opportunity throughout the day. So probably best introduced by saying, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the sea, let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Thank you.
I think it's from the same theme, it's about praising. But the first one was about praising God throughout the day, every opportunity. The second one was about everything, even nature, creation round about it, praising the Lord. The third one just takes that to the extension and the timeline, and it's about praising the Lord all of our days. A beautiful song I went on, a beautiful Savior, that says, "All my days I will sing the song of gladness, give my praise to the fountain of the light." Beautiful Savior.
Says as none of us are treated as we deserve. God is super fair to us. I've got two readings to begin our time together this morning, and they're both passages that help us to reflect on restoring relationships and God's counterintuitive way where weakness becomes strength. And the first of these is taken from the book of Proverbs, and it's Proverbs chapter 38 and verse 8 and 9. in which Scripture says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy." That's Proverbs 31. And in the New Testament, in the Gospel according to Luke, in Luke chapter 6, and reading from verse 27, we hear Jesus say this: "I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you, and if someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." If we are called to love those who have wronged us, then what about those who have not wronged us, but over whom we have power and influence? Those folks who rely on us purchasing the crops they grow and the food and the clothing they produce, are our trading relationships, relationships of love? Over the past 2.5 years since the referendum on membership of the European Union, we've all become much, much more aware of just how important our trading matters are, how much trade matters to our daily lives. And we've become very aware of how many jobs and government policies and the goods we buy and the services we enjoy, how many of these are linked to trade, both here in the UK and in countries of the European Union and right around the world. And it seems to me we can think about trade in two ways, at least two ways. Firstly, trade is a way for everyone to have better lives. Without trade, we could not eat bananas, or, as we're doing this morning, drink tea or coffee. Without trade, many jobs would simply not exist. Trade is cooperation and partnerships that helps us all. And I suppose the second point about trade, as we begin this morning, is that trade is a tough business. Negotiations are hard fought. No one wants to come out with a bad trade deal. To arm wrestle successfully in a trade negotiation, you need big economic and political muscles. And we know that as a European Union member, the UK has automatically been part of about 40 different international trade agreements, which the EU has with around 70 other countries. And in 35 days' time, we know that if the UK leaves the EU without a deal, then we will lose all of these trade deals immediately. And so far, only 6, what a rather small continuity agreements have been struck with Israel, with Palestine, with Switzerland, with the Faroe Islands, with Eastern and Southern Africa, and then most recently with Chile. Only 6 out of the 40. There are no trade agreements yet with any of our major trading partners. And that's concerning, because trade is important, and trade deals are important. And to have what's considered a good trade deal, you have to be able to negotiate from a position of power. It's just a fact. So when you're trading with poorer communities around the world, it's right to ask two questions. Firstly, who in that relationship has got the power? Or, if you like, who's got the biggest muscles? And then secondly, are those people we trade with opponents and competitors, or are they friends and partners? Here in the UK at the moment, we're still a relatively powerful country, and we have the power of our wallets, and we can choose a relationship of love when we buy in ways that are fair, ways which help to rebalance the scales of trade justice. We have the power of being a citizen of a powerful country. We can choose a relationship of love by telling our politicians that we want to see living incomes for everyone with whom we trade. We have the power to refuse to exert the power. We can choose a relationship of love when we refuse to accept trade which exploits other people. And some of the places with which we trade are places that are most affected by climate change. And in these countries, if farmers don't have the money to invest in adapting to climate change, then crops will become harder and harder to grow and more expensive to produce. So it's almost as if paying fair prices now to farmers in other countries helps to keep our shopping bill down in the future. In our interconnected world, we can't isolate ourselves from the damage that we do to others. Instead, if we show relationships of love, which Jesus commands us to do, then we will connect with other people and build up our common life. This year, the Fairtrade Foundation in the UK are putting the spotlight on the Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast. It's the world's biggest cocoa producer. There are 4 million people across the Côte d'Ivoire who grow cocoa, and much of that cocoa at present comes to the UK. And yet, shockingly, 60% of all the cocoa farmers live below the United Nations poverty line of just £1.47 a day. So who's got the power in these trading relationships just now? It certainly doesn't look like the farmers. So why is trade something we're talking about this month in our last Sunday service? Well, as we said at the beginning, today is the start of Fair Trade Fortnight. And churches have been supporting fair trade for the past 70 or 80 years, particularly over the past 40 years, through Tradecraft, which is a founder of the European Fair Trade Association. And particularly over the past 25, 26, 27 years, through the fair trade movement. The current fair trade movement really shaped in Europe in the 1960s, and it's enjoyed increasing support from the European Union since its founding and the founding of the Fair Trade Foundation in 1992. The first fair trade product in 1992 was coffee. It was Cafe Direct, still on sale in the shops. 2 years later, the fair trade mark that we're pretty familiar with now was launched. And today the brand's best known for coffee and tea and chocolate and bananas. But the product range has grown tremendously in recent years in response to consumer demand. And so fair trade certification now covers an amazingly 4,500 different products. And that includes dozens of new products like fresh fruit and dried fruit and juices and cereals and vegetables, nuts and oil and herbs and spices, even vanilla pods, sports balls, clothing, and even gold. And that means that thousands of farmers and workers have the opportunity to benefit from fairer terms of trade and invest additional income from fair trade sales in developing their businesses and improving their lives and the lives of the folks in their communities. And when you look at fair trade today, what you see is that people are at the heart of fair trade. And there are over 1.66 million farmers and workers who are spread across more than 73 countries who are producing fair trade goods. This morning, later on, we're going to hear about some fair trade cocoa farmers and find out more about the challenges they face. But first, I thought, let's test our knowledge of fair trade. So, on your tables, you'll find a sheet in fair trade quiz. Why? I'm going to ask a series of questions. Some of the questions you will know the answers to. Some you might just need to take a guess. And we'll see which table knows the most about fair trade. It's been going for a long time. Would the man like a sheet? Do you like a sheet? Here's a sheet. Okay. Here's a last Sunday fair trade quiz. Okay, question number one. When was the fair trade mark launched in the UK? Was it A, 1990, B, 1997, or C, 1994? So you put an A, B, or C. Right, question number two. Which product launched in 2011 is the first Fair Trade and Fair Mind certified product? You need to write the answer down for that one. Okay, question number three. In 1994, the first three products bearing the fair trade mark were launched. Do you know what the first three fair trade mark products were? Now, there's more than one point for this one, so if you get one product, I'll give you a point. But there were three in 1994. Okay, question four. What was the first non-food product certified by Fairtrade? What was the first non-food product certified by Fairtrade? And the last of the Fair Trade First questions, in May 2017, which retailer switched all their own brand products to 100% Fair Trade cocoa? So that's all our Fair Trade Firsts. Question one, when was the fair trade mark launched in the UK? A, 1990, B, 1997, C, 1994. Question two, which product launched in 2011 is the first fair trade and fair mind certified product? Question three, in 1994, the first three products bearing the fair trade mark were launched. What were they? Question four, what was the first non-food product certified by fair trade? And in May 2017, which retailer switched all their own brand cocoa-based products to 100% fair trade cocoa? Okay. Moving on from fair trade firsts, we have question six, and this is a section to do with fair trade around the world. Liberation is a fair trade nut company, part owned by the farming cooperatives who grow the nuts. Can you name two countries that Liberation nuts come from? So you just need to think of where they might grow nuts and have a guess at any two countries where fair trade nuts come from. That's not people. Have a guess. Okay, question 7. Which nation drinks the most tea per capita? Which nation drinks the most tea per capita? Question 8. Which country produces the most bananas? Is it A, India, B, Colombia, or C, China? Question 9 is related to bananas. Which part of the world did bananas originally come from? Is it A, Asia, B, America, C, Africa, or D, the Caribbean, or the Caribbean? Question 9. Just need to go back one. There we are. Where did bananas originally come from? Asia, America, Africa, or the Caribbean? And then we'll move on to question 10. Can you name one of the two countries that export more than 70% of the world's cocoa? And the last of our Fair Trade Around the World questions. Which capital city in 2004 declared fair trade status, making it the first to do so in the world? Was it A, Wellington, New Zealand, B, Cardiff in Wales, C, Santiago in Chile, or D, Washington DC in the USA? Which capital city in 2004 declared fair trade status, making it the first to do so? Okay. Next round is called Guess the Commodity. Guess the Commodity. So question 12, which non-food product am I? I am developing countries produce two-thirds of me. Two-thirds of me is the product. 100 million rural households are involved in my production, and I account for 40% of West Africa's exports. So which product am I? It's a non-food product. Non-food product. Right. Question 13, we're going back to bananas. Which of these is not a type of wild banana? Is it gold tiger bananas? Are they not a type of wild banana? Or bubblegum pink bananas? or green and white striped bananas? Which of these is not a type of wild banana? A, gold tiger bananas, B, bubblegum pink bananas, or C, green and white striped bananas? I was almost tempted to have an Iron Brew flavoured banana. Question 14. Which commodity is the most traded agricultural commodity with roughly 25 million families depending upon it? Which commodity is the most traded agricultural commodity with roughly 25 million families depending on it? Question 15. 3 hectares, that's roughly the equivalent of around 4 international football pitches. Which 3 hectares is the typical size of what type of farm? What type of farm is roughly 3 hectares in size? And the last commodity question, question 16. Which products that now have the Fair Trade mark are produced in Palestine? There are 2 related products that now have the Fair Trade mark and they're produced in Palestine. So what might they be? Okay, right, we're about halfway through, so will we mark the first half and see how you're doing? Okay, the first question was, when was the Fair Trade mark launched in the UK? Now, so for 1 point, if you have answered C, 1994, you can give yourself 1 point. There's a wee box at the side. Who got that one right? Some of you, okay. Question 2 was, which product launched in 2011 is the first Fair Trade and Fair Mind certified product? Who said gold? Gold. If you put gold, you can give yourself a point. Yeah. Question 3 was, in 1994, the first 3 products bearing the Fair Trade mark were launched. What were they? Shout out an answer if you think you've got one. Coffee, yeah, Cafe Direct coffee. Tea, Clipper tea, yeah. Chocolate. Green and Black's Maya Gold chocolate, the first fair trade chocolate. So if you've got all 3, you can have 2 points. If you've only got 2 or 1, you can get 1 point. And question 4 was, what was the first non-food product certified by Fair Trade? Any guesses? Not cotton. Who said flowers? Flowers. Flowers. Yes. So 1 point if you got flowers. Question 5, the last of the Fair Trade first questions, was, in May 2017, which retailer switched all their own brand cocoa-based products to 100% Fair Trade? And the answer was the Co-op. Yes, the cooperative group. Yeah, the Co-op. So 1 point for that. Right. There's a possible 6th marks for that round? Anybody got six? Five? Oh, five. Some people got five. Excellent. Good. Right, we're getting there. Okay, the next round was Fair Trade Around the World, and it was to do with Liberation, a fair trade nut company that was part owned by the farming cooperatives who grew the nuts. And I asked you to have a guess at any two countries that these nuts come from. So if you have said any of the following answers, you can get a point. Nicaragua? Peru? Bolivia? Brazil? Malawi? Mozambique? Or India? So if you've got any two of these answers, give yourself a point. If you've only got one, half a point. It's the way the quiz sheet's scored. Question 7, fair trade around the world. Which nation drinks the most tea per capita?
Ireland.
It's Ireland. Well done. It's Ireland. She's not seen the answers, no. It's Ireland. Britain is second. But the Irish, apparently, per capita, drink more tea than we do. And question 8, which country produces the most bananas? Was it A, India, B, Colombia, C, China? If you answered A, India, you can give yourself a point. Question 9, which part of the world did bananas originally come from? And the possible answers were Asia, America, Africa, or the Caribbean. If you answered Asia, A for Asia, you can get a point. It's agreed that bananas originated in Southeast Asia and the South Pacific around 8,000 to 5,000 BC, and they're believed to have been the world's first cultivated fruit. Question 10, where you were to name one of the two countries that export more than 70% of the world's cocoa, if you said Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, or Ghana, you can give yourself a point. And the last question in the fair trade around the world was which capital city in 2014 in 2004 declared fair trade status, making it the first in the world to do so. If you answered B, Cardiff in Wales, you get a point. Okay. And then the guess the commodity round. Question 12, which non-food product am I? Developing countries produce two-thirds of me, 100 million rural households are involved in my production, and I account for 40% of West Africa's exports. Any guesses what it was? Cotton. Yeah. Oh, point, you said cotton. I am cotton. And then the bananas. Which of these is not a type of wild banana? Gold tiger bananas, bubblegum pink bananas, or green and white striped bananas? Did any of you say gold tiger bananas? That is not a type of banana, and yet bubblegum pink bananas and green and white striped bananas are. If you had gold tiger bananas, you got a point. Nothing for any of the other answers. Which commodity is the most traded agricultural commodity with roughly 25 million families depending on it? And the answer could be... It's not rice. No, you think it was rice. It's not chocolate. Not tea, not sugar. Coffee. Not cocoa. Not rice. No. Coffee is the most traded commodity. 25 million families depend on the coffee trade. And most of these are small scale farmers who grow and sell coffee beans. Question 15, 3 hectares, roughly the equivalent of 4 international football pitches, is the typical size of what type of farm? Cocoa. Yeah, cocoa farm. Where the cocoa pods are harvested. And question 16, the last in the commodity round, which products that now have the fair trade mark are produced in Palestine? Any guesses at that one? Olives and olive oil, yes. Think of the Garden of Olives. There's a clue in the Bible. Okay. That's 1 point. Okay, let's move on. Next round is a number round. A number round. And it's question 17. And this is an ABCD answer. In the Oromia state of southern and southwest Ethiopia, where some of the best quality fair trade coffee is grown, what is the average size of the farm to the nearest acre? So in southern and southwest Ethiopia, where some of the best quality fair trade coffee is grown, what's the size of the farm to the nearest acre? Is it 1 acre, 600 acres, 30 acres, or 5 acres, A, B, C, or D? You might need to guess that one. The average size of a coffee farm in southern Ethiopia, 1 acre, 600 acres, 30 acres, or 5 acres. Right, question 18. In 2001, most banana-related accidents in Britain involved people slipping on banana skins. How many banana-related accidents were there in 2001? Is it A, 300, B, 500, or C, 750? And question 19, what is the current international trading price for a kilogram of gold? Is it A, $1,328, B, $25,095, or C, $42,726? What is the current price of a kilogram of gold? Question 20. How many fair trade bananas were eaten as part of the world record Go Bananas for Fair Trade competition during Fair Trade Fortnight in 2009? Was it 563, or B, 10,350, or C, 240,015, or D, 470,001? How many bananas were eaten during Fair Trade Fortnight 2009? And related to that, question 21. In the UK, how many bananas on average do we consume every year? Is it... Oh, I'm not going to give you an answer for that one. Just have a guess at how many bananas you consume every year. And I have to say, probably most of them are consumed in the mans. Have a guess, how many bananas consumed every year in the UK? And then question 22 in the numbers round, with proper care, how long in years on average can a cocoa tree sustain a peak production level? Have a guess. How long does a cocoa tree last for in terms of production? Have a guess. And then 23, Egyptian, Pima and Sea Island cotton are the longest cotton fibres grown in the world. What can their average fibre length reach up to? Is it A, 1.3 centimetres, B, 4.3 centimetres, or C, 7.2 centimetres? That's cotton fibres in Egyptian, Pima and Sea Island cotton. What's their average length? And the final round is a round on fair trade facts. as well as a minimum price, can you name the unique feature of the fair trade system that helps empower farmers to develop their communities and businesses? It's not just about fair trade, minimum price. There's something else that farmers get to help develop their communities and their businesses. If you know what it is, write it down. And in 25, Fairtrade produced sports balls, now fairly traded sports balls. Can you name three types of sports balls that Fairtrade currently produce? Name three Fairtrade sports balls you can buy. So have a think of what kind of sports balls you might buy that are fairly traded. Can you name three of them? And again, 2 points for three answers, one for two or one. And then, first of a couple of coffee questions. Kopi Luwak, the world's most expensive coffee, which costs up to $600 per pound, is A, grown in the highest altitude region of Madagascar, or B, made from coffee beans eaten and then excreted by the Sumatran palm civet, or C, grown by Tibetan monks in the renowned Ganden Monastery. So, is it A, B, or C for Kopi Luwak coffee? And then 27, is a coffee bean a nut, a fruit, a seed, or a vegetable? Is a coffee bean a nut, a fruit, a seed, or a vegetable? And the last question, how many fair trade products are currently available in the UK? Is it A, 750, B, 3,200, or C, 4,500? Right. Let's go back and get the answers very quickly. Our number round. Question 17, that was to do with the average size of a farm to the nearest acre. If you put D, 5 acres, give yourself a point. Question 18, banana-related accidents. How many accidents were there in the UK in 2001? If you put A, 300, give yourself a point. And the current international trading price for gold is C, 42,726. Gold is around 15,000 times more expensive than agricultural commodities like tea and coffee. And yet gold miners are often the poorest paid. Question 20, how many Fairtrade bananas were eaten as part of the Fairtrade fortnight world record attempt? The answer was D, 470,001. 21. In the UK, how many bananas on average do we consume each year? The answer, which it was a guess, is 5 billion. So if you're near 5 billion, and I mean near, give yourself a point. Yeah, well, it's not 1 million. 22. With proper care, how long can the average cocoa tree sustain a peak production level? Did anyone put 10 years?
Yes.
Well done. 10 years. And in the cotton fibre, the average cotton fibre length of the Egyptian Pima and Sea Island cotton is B, 4.3 centimetres. Now, fair trade facts, the minimum price, this is important because not only do fair trade products sell for a minimum price, there's also a fair trade premium price that's paid, and that helps farmers invest in their business and invest in their communities. So if you put a premium price, an extra price, you can give yourself a point. And the three fair trade sports balls, what balls did you think of that might have been? Not tennis,
football.
Netball. Rugby balls and
basketball.
Not basketball. Volleyball, yeah. So football, volleyball, rugby balls or net balls. If you get three of these, give yourself a couple of points. If you got one or two, give yourself a point. And then Kopi Luwak, which I've never drunk, and I don't think I ever would drink, is made from coffee beans excreted by Sumatran palm civets. So the answer is B. And is coffee a nut, a fruit, a seed, or a vegetable? It's a seed. Well done, Caleb. Yes. Coffee beans are like the pits in the cherry. They're like the cherry stone. And even though it is a seed, it's called a bean because it looks like a bean, but it's a seed. So that's the answer. And how many fair trade products currently available in the UK? 4,500. Right. Add up all your points. There's a possible 30 points. Did anyone get 30 points? We'll go down the way. 29, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23. Well done, Ruth. Well done. 22, 21, 20, 19, 18. 17, 17, well done that table, and the rest of you, very well done. And I'm afraid there's no bar of chocolate for a prize, but well done. I want to take you back in time, very briefly. I want to take you back in time, and imagine that we're travelling back thousands of years to a time before Jesus was born, and we're going to imagine what it was like to be to live in the Middle East and to be poor at the time. If you lived in the Middle East thousands of years ago and you were poor, maybe living in Assyria or someplace like that, you wouldn't have had any land of your own. You would always have gone from place to place looking for work. You would be a journeying farm labourer, and it would be a hard life. You'd never know from day to day whether you'd be offered work. And even when you're hired for the day, the farmers would cheat you more often than not. Or they'd pay you late, or they wouldn't pay you at all. And if you're not paid fairly, you don't have enough to eat, and many nights you would go to sleep hungry. And the farmers understood, but they didn't care. But then in your wandering, you enter the land that belongs to the tribes of the people of Israel. And as you go into their land, you find that things are a bit different from the neighbouring lands. Because they've got a law which says you must be paid a fair wage. And they've got a law that says you must be paid on time each day. And they've got other laws to protect foreigners. It's part of their religion. And you might have come from Assyria or one of the other lands around about the land of Israel. And you might have come from a nation where the people were fighting wars with the Israelite tribes over the years. You might even follow one of the false gods. You might follow the Baals or the Asherahs and not the God of Israel. But you come into Israel and the people still treat you fairly. And in the Old Testament, the Bible says that Moses was given a set of rules by God. And they cover a lot of things, from laws to protect poor people and laws to protect foreigners. And here's one of these laws which could have made a difference if you were someone poor coming into the land of Israel. Deuteronomy 24 says, "Don't take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset because they are poor and counting on it." That kind of law might have been a hard law for people to follow. The farmers who had to pay the wages were often very poor themselves. But although it was hard, the rules that Moses wrote down, rules given to him by God, said that treating everyone fairly, whatever your differences, was an important part of serving God. So finally, let's come right back to the present day and meet a farmer. His name is Ebrotier. Tano Florentin. He's from a country in Africa which we've referred to already, the Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire. And Côte d'Ivoire is the biggest grower of cocoa in the world. And if you like eating chocolate, you've probably eaten cocoa grown in Côte d'Ivoire. So here's a picture of him, hopefully. Have we got a picture of him? Maybe not. No. There's three pictures. Yep. It's there someplace. Anyway, this is... Here he is. He gave... next picture. Yeah. He gave an interview with the Fair Trade Foundation last year. This is what he said. He said, "My name is Ibroti Tano Florentin, and I'm a cocoa farmer. I'm married, and I have six children. The cocoa prices are disastrous." He said, "You end up after costs with around £811 for a year. And when a farmer gets up in the morning, he's always worried. How will he be able to feed and take care of his family? How can he send his children to school?" And he went on to say, "It's going to be difficult to pay for their school and their medical care. A child needs protection and rights. Before, this protection did not exist, but now with fair trade, the situation's improved. And a child is entitled to have access to education and health and protection and food." And when Fairtrade spoke to him last year, he was worried about climate change. He said, "Before, there were lots of forests, and the rains were regular, and the seasons were well divided. It was easier. Now we don't know anymore when we should plant and when we should stop. Climate change has an impact on our crops, which results in less money and less food being available." And finally, commenting on his experience with Fairtrade, he said, "Now we're in the Fairtrade project, and we've access to training. And someone who's trained is someone who can decide. So today, the training that Fairtrade provides gives us knowledge about plant diseases and how to improve our productivity. There are 5 million farmers in the Ivory Coast, Côte d'Ivoire, who suffer and who struggle to survive. There's no minimum income, and if someone does not have enough money to survive, what can he or she do? If the situation doesn't change," he said, "I think people will stop cocoa farming because the incomes are too low. If the consumers are satisfied but the farmers suffer, the future is very uncertain." So as we hear his words, listening to him, I understand a little better how hard it is for many farmers who grow food that we eat every day. 60% of all the cocoa farmers in Côte d'Ivoire live below that poverty level of £1.47 a day. And although it's thousands of years since these verses from the Old Testament which you read were written, it looks like matters today are just the same. How we treat the people who grow our food is important. We are commanded to treat them fairly, even though they might live far away in another country. Did you notice Ibrotie explaining how fair trade had been improving things? When we buy fair trade, chocolate, bananas, coffee, tea, it means that extra money, the premium that we pay, goes to help these farmers, and they in turn help their communities. This year, fair trade will be increasing the prices that are paid to farmers to make even more of a difference. And Fairtrade helps in other ways too. They support farmers on the ground with training and advice. And that all happens when folks like you and me choose to buy Fairtrade. So what can we do? We can choose to buy Fairtrade. We can pray. And we can join in petitions to campaign so that our government trades fairly with other countries and other farmers around the world. Changing things is not easy, it takes time and effort, but we can all help. And if we listen to what Scripture tells us about how we should treat other people, if we think carefully about what we buy and whether it's been produced fairly, that will make a big impact. We can tell businesses and governments that we want to buy fairly traded goods, and we can pray for ourselves, for our own nation, for people around the world who grow our food, who make our clothes, or produce other things we consume. So Fair Trade Fortnight starts tomorrow. Look out, participate, tell other people about it. We'll sing and we'll uplift our offering, and then we'll have a short prayer and finish our time together.
Spur to